Christopher Ferraro.
Okay, sir, I believe a distinguished colleague, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, will be chairing your hearing, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Funfaro, give me one moment as we get our roster in order. Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Okay, Christopher Michael Ferraro. Number is 171313.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 13, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you in the room, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. They are, as you can see on the video screen, to my far left is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Mr. Ferraro and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or so you affirm.
Yes, sir. I do.
Mr. Ferraro, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
I will now read from the warrant. You violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your use of opiates on or about August 18, 2017 for the task lab report dated August 22, 2017. Mr. Ferraro, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your use of methamphetamines on or about August 18, 2017 for the task lab report dated August 22, 2017. Mr. Ferraro, is this true or false? Thank you, sir. The last allegation number three, violation of condition number four, as demonstrated by your failure to complete the 90-day intensive treatment program at the Penal Reentry Center on or about August 21st, 2017, as directed on July 31st, 2017. Mr. Ferraro, is this true or false?
I'm sorry. Am I allowed to explain or comment on each allegation?
Yes, you will have a chance to speak in detail to the board during the second phase of the hearing. But did you say that allegation number three was true?
It's true, sir.
Okay, we're going to make a motion to pass through the first phase of the hearing. Then we will go to the second phase of the hearing where we'll have an opportunity to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir? Based on Mr. Fofaro's admissions, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Just 1 second, Mr. Fofaro, and we will continue with the second phase of the hearing. Okay, sir, we're moving to phase two. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. So, Mr. Fofaro, if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fofaro was released from DOC custody on May 25th, 2017. He was arrested on August 21st, 2017 at the Tucson Regional Pro Office for his continued disregard for facility rules and his substance abuse of illegal substances while in the facility. He was turned back to our custody that same day with zero abscond days, with a community supervision end date of November 23rd of 2017. Current conviction, 2014, theft means transportation, 3 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2002, trafficking in stolen property, 3 years, 6 months. 2002, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2002, burglary, third degree, 1 year, 6 months. 2013, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. And 2013, drug paraphernalia violation, 4 months. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4-4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is SCG and danger for admission noted. They suspected white supremacist and he displays an FTW inside an iron cross. And when asked what that's supposed to mean, he said it stands for forever truly white. Prior terms of supervision, 2005, TIS absconder, 310 days. Arrested by Pima County Sheriff's Office for assault and disorderly conduct. And returned to custody and revoked. And 2013, TIS completion, 2 months, 9 days. He has a significant criminal, disciplinary history, criminal damage, theft, assault with a weapon, assault on inmate, drug possession, and manufacturing noted. And since his return on September 18th of 2017, he received a write-up for criminal damage. On September 18th of 2017, at approximately 14:10 hours, CO2 Lopez, witness inmate for Faro, ADC number 171313, take a mattress from ID5 and separate it into several pieces. Inmate Faro was verbally placed on report by CO2 Evans. Other arrests, 1998, marijuana violation, AZ juvenile probation. 1998, drug paraphernalia violation, AZ juvenile probation. 1999, drug paraphernalia violation, AZ juvenile detention. In 2001, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. And he has a community risk score of G7V8.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Fofaro. It looks like that you were released from DOC with the approved residence of 1408 North McKinley Avenue, Tucson, Arizona. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Were you employed at all when you were outside of the prison system?
Yes, I work for a company called Allied Sources. It's an construction labor company and doing different jobs. I was also signed up with community college and starting fall classes. But I relapsed and checked myself into the sense of human housing project at the Sac Rapids, Tucson.
All right, sir. According to programming notes, you had several positive UAs for amphetamines and opiates, 1, 2, 3, 4, five, and then a separate one for opiates, one for marijuana. You had a failed to submit, diluted, and a diluted. So it looks like that you had ongoing drug problems when you were in community supervision. You self-admitted use to heroin, methamphetamine, and alcohol. Said that you needed help and were willing to participate in the 90-day intensive treatment program. So going back to the original allegation, on allegation number three, you failed to complete the 90-day intensive treatment program. So I know you wanted a chance to explain further to this board, but what happened?
I'm excited. I did relapse, but one time when I was on the streets doing the community supervision. So I checked in on the parole officer, tell her what happened, and she explains to the program to me. You know, it sounds good from where she explains it, but then they put you on the program and you speak with the counselors and they say, look, this is something that you're going to have to want, but they don't tell you that there's also a without placement program at the same facility. And these dudes are steadily bringing in large amounts of drugs. The place is a smorgasbord of every drug you want to do. And it's not like it's a hard thing to find, or it's right out there in your face. And for somebody who's trying to get help, it was impossible for me to stay away from it. I talked to the treatment team and I asked them, you know, the intensive treatment housing part that they put me in the 90-day program is separated from the without placement, but you have contact with those people. So the guys that are already there were already in contact with the other guys, and there was, I'm talking about a lot of drugs, even more than bad neighborhoods in Tucson. And so I talked to the treatment team about going to a place where it was work-based and treatment-based, because I have to be doing something. I can't just sit around all day. This is what they want you to do. They want to put you in a small enclosed place with a 16-inch screen TV and every single drug you have been doing your whole life, and ask you not to do drugs and just watch TV all day. You can go outside and sit on some picnic tables, and that's the extent of the activities that they have there for you to do. So I felt like it was just putting me back in the cell and asking me here. You know, it's a prison type environment too, because it's all dudes who have been in prison. And nobody's doing nothing. They're all sitting around all day doing drugs. The short amount of time that I was there, one person graduated. 3 to 4 people were sent to other programs because of dirty UAs at this place. And when I asked to be sent to somewhere where, you know, I could keep myself busy on top of doing the treatment, I got told no. I didn't understand why here's the thing. These other dudes had dropped dirty 15 to 22 times a piece. And so if you don't drop dirty, or if you don't drop dirty enough times, then they don't have to go to these other programs.
Okay, Mr. Fafaro, I'm going to continue with some other questions. I guess it goes without saying that you were using opiates and methamphetamine and marijuana when you're outside. I'm going to say this with some respect and some empathy, but it sounds like you're not ready really for treatment. I recognize that the drugs are like, it's not good. I'll be the first to say it, that if you're in an environment where the influence is bad and the drugs are in your face, available, that's not a good thing, and I hear you, but it seems like that you're still struggling pretty hard with the decision to stay off drugs. Because with them being available to you, it seems it was easy for you to return to your drug addiction. Is that correct?
Sure. I don't understand why you don't see the ready to stay away from them, because that's, I mean, that was part of me checking myself into the program in the first place. I didn't even drop dirty on the streets before I went and checked myself into there. I had gotten high and went and said, you know what, Ms. Oliver, I need help.
Sir, I may not have phrased that correctly. All I meant was that I did hear that you want treatment, but it seems that the temptation is still very strong for you right now with its availability being so ready, the way you describe it.
This is true, sir, but I don't understand how they're expecting somebody who's done drugs their whole life, you know, and that's been a way of life for me, and then I try to get clean, and they put me into a program that they tell you when they check you in, and you're going to want to have it, you're going to want it, because the drugs are everywhere in there. I don't think I've seen maybe two people out of the 35 that were in the program that I was in drop dirty or drop clean the 3 weeks that I was there.
Well,
that's not very good.
I do appreciate what you have to say about the situation. I'm going to take some further information from our community corrections officer. Yes, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, there are also notes from August 21st, 2017 by Senior Parole Officer Judge Duran. My offender in office for staffing with SBO Ron and Settles. Per information report, offender was addressed for inappropriate contacts with other PRC residents while the PRC IGH. A rule violation on 8-12-17, offender had a cell phone and refused to give it to the officer when directed while living at the PRC and IGH. Due to the offender's continued disregard for the rules, he was discharged from the IGH program. The offender was arrested and returned to custody. The phone was a big part of that also, sir. Just wanted to note that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because that is that's an important piece. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. No further questions. Okay, Mr. Fafaro, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make before the board goes into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing. So is there anything you'd like to share with the board? Well, thank you, Mr. Fafaro. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself in the open before we come to our individual votes and make a decision regarding your community supervision. So if you'll just remain on the phone and stay quiet for a few moments, we'll get back to you shortly. Okay, sir? The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I think that this was a very insightful discussion with Mr. Fafaro regarding the challenges of seeking drug treatment in a system where there's the possibility that the drugs may be very available. I will say, and this is, I'm not calling out Mr. Fafaro, this is, it's not quite what I mean, but it seems that drugs are available not just at PRC, but inside the prison system as well, and it is a little perplexing to me how drugs could be available in one environment in DOC and people remain clean, but go into a program that is dedicated for drug treatment and the temptation seems to be really strong. But again, I'm just thinking out loud there. That's just perplexing in as much that we hear a lot of cases and a lot of stories of people dealing with the drug addiction as they're making their transition from Department of Corrections to society. In short, I believe that Mr. Fofaro, if my calculation is correct, only has about a month and 21 days left of his prison sentence. It sounds like, based on some other violations of conditions, such as not completing the program and the situation with the phone, that community supervision was not a good fit for him. Although we do want to see him succeed, we do want to see him receive effective drug treatment. But based on the totality of this case, I'm not finding him suitable for community supervision. But I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Yes,
Mr. Quinones, I would just add that there was a previous period of community supervision in 05 that resulted in 310 abscond days and additional, some sort of additional criminal activity that probably resulted in charges, I'm not sure, but so I agree with you that community supervision is not indicated.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further input from my colleagues?
I agree with both of you. I think that maybe if he gets his life together or the next, between then and November, he'll be ready. But at that time, he won't be on supervision. Therefore, we won't have to worry about that. Therefore, I agree with you.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information and warrant number 2017W2905. Our discussion with Mr. Fofaro, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Fofaro is delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Fofaro. Yes, this board has made its decision. Your supervision has been revoked, and you'll be released on or about November 23rd, 2017. That's in 1 month and 21 days. We highly encourage you to take advantage of these last days to concentrate on putting together a plan for your return to the community. When you return, you will no longer be under community supervision or have the oversight of a parole officer. We wish you a safe and productive return to the community. Thank you for appearing before this board. Mr. Fofaro hung up the phone before we completed the hearing, but this hearing is concluded. No further discussion will take place. And that concludes our hearing.